This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and all of next week is Pollinator Week. It was created in 2007. It's meant to bring attention to the importance of bees, beetles, flies, moths, even bats, and the role they play in our ecosystems. Perhaps the best-known pollinator is the honeybee. There's been a lot of reporting in recent years about declining honeybee populations, but there are many other native species that also play an important role. With all this in mind, next week the University of Illinois Extension is set to host a variety of events across the state to mark Pollinator Week and educate people about how they can help save the pollinators. Joining us now to talk more about this is Sri Lakshmi Suresh, horticulture educator for the University of Illinois Extension. Sri Lakshmi, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have questions about pollinators, maybe you are a beekeeper yourself, maybe you're interested in taking that up, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 800-222-9455. All right, maybe we should start with basics. What makes a pollinator? What is this all about?
That's actually a great question, and I do a lot of work trying to correct some misinformation that can sometimes float up about pollinators. So I always start with the basics. Pollination is the transfer of the pollen from the male anther to the female stigma of a flower. And so pollination is when an organism helps that flower out to move that pollen from the male part to the female part. So organisms, I say that word to be very diverse. There's hand pollination by humans, but we are usually thinking here of insect pollinators. So bees, flies, wasps, beetles, butterflies, a whole smorgasbord of the animal world, really.
Yeah, you know, and there is so much focus on the honeybee, but talk about some of those other pollinators. What do people overlook in this realm?
Great question. So honeybees are great because there are domesticated livestock pollinators. It's really easy to move them across the country. Having been a beekeeper myself, they're fantastic animals, but a lot of people don't know about some of our native bees or our native wasps, flies, beetles. Most folks I speak to tend to like strawberries and do not know that the strawberry is most commonly pollinated by a hoverfly, not our regular kind of butterfly or bee. There's plenty of flies that we need for our food systems and native wasps too, that are very crucial for our agriculture, but also for our natural landscapes.
I don't know if you can speak to the history of the honeybee in Illinois, but I understand it's not a native species here. How did this come to sort of dominate the popular imagination in terms of pollination?
It's a great question. So honeybees were brought over just about 400 years ago, which is really not that much time for them to become, you know, evolved with our local flora and fauna. My thesis work kind of explored looking at honeybees, and I was really seeing that they were going to a lot of things they might have seen in their European habitat. So kind of clovers or wild carrot, where we think of as weeds, those native pollinators like our native bees, flies, and wasps are really going to a lot of our native plants. So probably honeybees are, I always say this with a lot of love in my heart, they are weirdos. They're really the exception to the rule with a lot of their biology and behavior as compared to a lot of the other bees and wasps. Most folks don't realize that the vast majority of bees and wasps out in the wild are actually solitary. They're living all by themselves. They don't have any colonies. They don't have any hives. Honeybees are those weirdos that have not just couple hundred, but a couple thousand sometimes in their colony. So it makes it really easy with the numbers that they have in their colonies and kind of their behavior of how they live for us humans to kind of pick them up and put them where we want them, ideally close to some crop that we'd like them to pollinate.
That's interesting. So, all right, so honeybees, I mean, they are still important. Their numbers are suffering.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what do we understand about what is causing this, you know, colony collapse is a phrase I've heard thrown around.
Yes, so folks have really heard about colony collapse disorder. It's also been called disappearing disease. Folks, as in beekeepers, have kind of known about this. It tends to come and go in waves. We're not sure, we being kind of researchers, scientists, beekeepers, we're not sure the exact cause, but it's almost certainly a combination of what we call in bee research as the four P's. That's going to be poor forage, pesticides, pests, and pathogens. When we're looking at the historic loss rates we saw early this year, we are seeing about 60% loss in bee populations by our large commercial beekeepers, who you might hear of as being responsible for almond pollination in California and doing a lot of cross-country travel to really make sure that we are able to feed our country, but also the world. And so those bees dying off at such high rates was alarming, of course. No one wants to be a farmer. No one wants to see their livestock suddenly die en masse. There is some natural variation throughout the years. Colonies are the biggest in the summer and the smallest in the winter. But 60% loss is kind of crazy. You wouldn't want to be a cattle farmer and suddenly two-thirds of your cattle are gone. And so researchers from the USDA and across the country really scrambled to like figure out what was really going on this year. And just I think it was June 1st, so very, very recently, not even 2 weeks, hot off the presses, there is a article that has been released, a preprint, which means it hasn't undergone peer review, but plenty of scientists have worked on it collaboratively, have found that the samples that they took from these hives that had these massive die-offs, they were seeing a lot of viruses that were vectored by the Varroa mite pest. And so the combination of kind of these diseases, as well as this pest, the Varroa mite actually sucks out the fat of the honeybee body. So they're essentially not getting their nutrients, and these mites are also kicking them while they're down and making them sick in the process.
Interesting.
And so
So,
that's what
yeah.
we think is happening.
So we have a working hypothesis now for what's happening here. Interesting. All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about Pollinator Week, which is next week, actually, and some of the programs the University of Illinois Extension is going to be doing in conjunction with that. We are talking about this with Sri Lakshmi Suresh. They are a horticulture educator for the U of I Extension. 800-222-9455. Just about 5 minutes left on the program today, if you want to call in, 800-222-9455. So are some of the native pollinators we talked about, the beetles, the flies, are they suffering from losses as well?
So, yes, absolutely. I always try to tell folks, if you think about it, in 1840, Illinois, being the prairie state, had over 22 million acres of prairie. Today, we have about 2,000 acres of prairie. I don't have to be a mathematician or a statistician to tell you that is a huge loss. And that reduction in prairie means a lot less food for all insects and a lot of animals other than insects. And so, what happens when we talk about honeybees and native bees, and sometimes we talk about competition, a lot of it is the fact that they're all kind of fighting for the last plate of food at the table.
Interesting. 2,000 acres of prairie. Just by comparison for listeners, O'Hare Airport's grounds cover 7,600 acres. So you can get a sense of how small that is. All right. What can we do about this? Give us some marching orders here, if people want to participate in making, you know, trying to stem this problem.
I always tell folks one of the easiest things that you can do is really plant native plants. And I know there's plenty of folks probably listening in who live in an apartment. I live in an apartment myself. If you have just a little bit of outdoor space, even a container garden with native plants will attract some of our native pollinators. I've had some cone flowers, these beautiful pink flowers. In pots on my balcony, and I've actually seen some of our native leaf cutter bees come and nest by them. So perhaps you're not saving all of the species at once, but if you're planting native plants, pollinators and animals will come. And what's really cool about some of the natives that we have too, there are some great resources from Extension. There are really cool plants that will actually also feed birds and other animals other than just bees. So.
I read about a winery in California that was interspersing little pollinator gardens throughout its winery as sort of like a natural effort to try and improve their sort of agricultural outcomes. Is there something systemically that we should be looking at doing in regards to that, planting pollinator rows of crops in the bean and corn fields every so often or something like that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think definitely kind of increasing the amount of food available is, if you had to ask me as a pollinator ecologist, what my personal opinion as a professional, having studied these guys, probably the biggest issue of those four Ps, again, that's poor forage, pesticides, pests and pathogens. I'd say poor forage is that big issue. A lot of times in Illinois, we have a lot of corn and soy. And that doesn't necessarily feed all of the pollinators we have. Honeybees and a couple of other bees will visit soybean flowers sometimes under the right conditions. They're not really going to corn because corn is a self-pollinating crop. And so, especially when we're thinking about how little prairie we have, just down to 2,000 acres in the state, doing what we can to really increase the amount of food available makes a huge difference because we all can't necessarily eradicate pests or pathogens en masse. But, if I talk to my neighbor and they talk to the person down the street and they're planting some native plants in their front lawns or on their balconies, that's something tangible that we can do and that we can see immediately pollinators coming to. I planted some mint in our extension offices. Office balcony pot, and I actually caught two different bee species on it while I was leaving the office yesterday.
So mint, interesting. All right. What sort of events, just a couple of minutes left, what sort of events are going on this week that people can participate in, especially if they're not in Champaign-Urbana throughout the state?
Yes. So I am actually based down in Effingham, and I cover a couple of neighboring counties as well. For folks anywhere in the state or even really anywhere in the world, we have a couple of online opportunities. I will be talking about some of our native bee species and genera in more detail on Tuesday, the 17th. You are welcome to go to publish.illinois.edu. /pollinator week, and we've got the whole list of our statewide events where you can sign up to the webinar I'm giving to native bees. If you're down in kind of my area, the Ballard Nature Center in Altamont is where I will be hosting a pollinator bio blitz on Friday the 20th, where I will be available to help folks kind of find and take photos of pollinators to upload to the community science application, iNaturalist. We'll also have a sister event in Champaign-Urbana and surrounding counties to do the same, take photos of pollinators to post to iNaturalist. And if you're not in those places, beyond that, we also have reached out to several libraries across the state where they might have pollinator book displays. Some myself and several colleagues have collaborated to kind of put together a list of what we really like in terms of book resources. So folks in Carbondale, in Joliet area, in Champaign-Urbana, all of those places will have some pollinator book displays. You can check out our publish.illinois.edu / pollinator week website for a full list of all of the libraries that are participating. But
Absolutely.
definitely
All right,
join that webinar.
we're going to have to leave it there, and we will put a link to that on our website, 21stshow.org. Sri Lakshmi Suresh with the U of I Extension, thanks so much for being with us. That is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.